Couple years down the road, you're working the Valve. It was a normal weekend, right? You had a headliner in from out of town.
Who was it?
It was this woman named Stella Weeb, right?
Stella Weeb.
Weeb. Weeb.
Excuse me. Yeah. How'd it go?
It's been a little light around the Valve lately. So, you ended up canceling the late show on Saturday. Early show
Oh.
Saturday was fun, but it's just,
It
it's
happens,
in
yeah.
the winter part of the year. People just aren't out as much. There's not as much foot traffic. It's harder to fill the room. You get it. I don't have to
Sure,
explain it to
yeah.
you.
It's business, man.
Yeah. So you do the Friday show. She hangs out for a minute. You guys call it. You pay her out. She leaves. No big deal. You're closing up things as normal. But like, you hadn't like really closed everything up yet. You had just called the show, right? Michael was kind of like in and out. He was bringing beer up from the back. There's nobody left in the showroom really, and this guy walks into the Valve. He's wearing like just fur, just all fur, but not like fashionable fur.
What do you mean?
Like this isn't fur that you would get like off the rack, unless you consider Mother Nature the rack, the original rack. He's definitely wearing like pelts of things that he's killed before. He's got on like a raccoon hat. He's got
Okay.
a big thick beard that when you look at it, you see like there's like pine needles in it.
Oh wow, he's like a wild man
Yeah, kinda.
living
His
off the land.
boots clunk, clunk, clunk against the floor of the Valve. That's what like alerts you of his presence. You turn to him at the bar and he
Oh
waves his
man.
hand. He says, "Hello, stranger." He goes, "What do you have to drink?"
I go, we're actually closing up. I could get you a shot of something if you want.
He says, "I'd love nothing more than that." He goes, "Give me whatever hits you the hardest."
Okay.
And then he says, "How many pelt will that be?" And he's got like a sack and he slings it onto the counter. It's like very clearly like fresh pelt in there. You hear like a plonk a little
Oh
bit. You hear like a
God.
squish when it lands.
Oh my God. I go, "You know what? Don't even worry about it." And I just give him a shot of Jameson and I go, "Have a good night."
He
I
kind of
don't need
looks
any
at it.
pelts.
He looks at it in the cup and he goes, "What is this?"
It's whiskey.
And he says, "Ah, my daddy's favorite." And he like taps it on the bar, slams it. You see blood on the bottom of the cup as he lifts it to his face.
Oh my God.
You
Holy
look at the
shit.
bar, it's like a stamp, like where the bag was. It's just like a blood.
Oh God.
Right?
Okay,
It's
I
like pretty
go,
gross.
yeah, there's all kinds of weirdos like these on Sixth Street. This is so I go, "All right, man, have a good night."
He stands up. He looks at the bar. He goes, "I'm so sorry." He grabs a bunch of those little like cocktail napkins and he starts to wipe it up, right? It
I go, "Don't
takes
worry about it, buddy."
so many of them. He looks at you, he goes, "I made the mess. I'll clean it."
It's fine. Just good night. I'll
He's
clean it.
like wiping it up, right?
All right, whatever. I wait till he finishes, then I go, "Have a good night."
He says, "I thank you so much for the free drink, my friend." He goes, "What's your name?"
My name's Pat.
He says, "Pat." He goes, "It's a pleasure to meet you. My name is Marshall."
Hey, dude. Thank you, Marshall.
He says, "Nice to meet you, sir." And he throws the fucking bag of pelt over his arm. There's just a line of blood, just because like it's like sprayed across the wall.
Oh no!
You see it. You hear it. You look and there's just like a line. He kind of looks like jerks and looks in that direction. He obviously sees it too, but he just goes, "Okay, I will leave now.
Goodbye."
And he walks out the door.
Right? I lock the door immediately, and then me and the bartender disinfect the fuck out of that bar.
Yeah, you guys get up. You guys get the bleach out. You know,
I tell Michael about what happens too. I think he would get a kick out of this story.
Michael actually walks back, and he's got a case of beer in his hand, and he breaches like the doorway from the hall into the valve, and he stops, and he goes. All he says is, "I smell blood." His eyes narrow. You guys are like, yeah, this guy just fucking, you know.
Yeah, I tell what happens, yeah.
And he said, he kind of sniffs the air. He goes, "Not human blood."
No, it's the pelts, Michael.
He goes, "Oh, I knew it." Puts the beer away. He steps outside for a smoke. And he goes, "Holy shit. Hey, Marshall." And they like stand there and talk.
Of fucking course. Of course, Michael Park knows this guy.
Yeah. They're standing there talking, right? You guys are cleaning and disinfecting the bar. You go out the front door. There's just like a stream of blood just pouring oh out God. Into the sidewalk of 6th Street from this guy's bag, right? People are like walking in it. There's like little bloody footprints all up and down the sidewalk. Like some guy ran over it in his mobility scooter, right?
Wow.
Top horse gets a footprint in it. Right. And steps on the pavement, and it's like a perfect stamp. Somebody takes a photo of it. It wins National Geographic's photo of the year. It's like all
Holy
it's like a
shit.
Protest to like police brutality, just a bloody horse hoof print on the fucking hot pavement.
Wow.
So Marshall and Michael are standing there talking, right? You guys like finish cleaning up the bar. Michael comes back in. He goes, "Yeah, I've known Marshall a long time."
What is this guy's deal, Michael? Like, why does he only has pelts?
Michael says, he's a weird guy.
Yeah.
He kind of like looks at the bloody rags in the trash can and goes, "Yep, Marshall was here, all right."
All right. Yep. Okay, well, good night, everyone, I guess. I mean, what else is there to do to close up?
So
we've disinfected
leaves,
the bar. Yeah.
Right. You walk out, right? You're walking down the sidewalk, and you see this group of like three guys just attack Marshall. They're
Whoa.
Like pushing him over, right? And he's like not like really trying to, he's not putting up much of a defense, right? One guy gets on his hands and knees, and they back him up and they push him over the back.
Dang.
Tumbles out into Red River, right?
Well, there's always cops right at Red River and 6th Street.
There aren't at this point in time.
What?
So you kind of like, yeah, they're not there at this point.
They just moved
on?
It's like
a little further down Red River, you know?
Okay.
So you kind of like, you're like walking back to the garage where you keep your car and in that block. And,
yeah, I guess there's not a lot there. Yeah, okay.
You see these guys like fucking with him, you know? You see one guy grabs the bag of pelts and he just starts like running away with it. And you hear Marshall let out this blood curdling, like, "No."
Whoa.
You see, he kind of like, he gets up onto one knee and he reaches into like his boot and he pulls out a hand. He pulls something out of it and he throws it. And it's small. And it hits this guy in the back of the head, and he just drops.
Whoa.
Right? It just drops him, knocks him unconscious. Marshall, like, takes a swing at the guy who's standing directly in front of him. He connects, right? Like, really knocks the guy on his ass. The third guy runs away.
Jeez.
He kind of gets up onto his feet. He's punched over, spits out a bunch of blood. And you're like, "Holy shit, man, are you okay?" And he's like, "Yes, you know, I'll be okay." You know, he's like, "I'll be fine."
Well, yeah.
He starts walking over to the to his bag of pelts. What do you say to him?
I guess I go, well, I'd be like, are you hurt or anything? Or you're okay? Or
he says, I am hardy and shall remain steadfast in my pursuits. He goes, but thank you for asking.
Okay. I guess I'd go, well, while I got you here, Marshall, what's the story with like you and your pelts?
He says,
what's your deal?
Basically, he says, I am on a lifelong search. I am closing in on my end of days, and I am closing in on the object that lights the fire inside of me every day. It is Balfour's axe. And he goes on to tell you the legend of this axe. It was the tool that first pierced the Pine Curtain in East Texas and allowed people to inhabit the state. It was a tool that was essential in westward expansion. It was wielded by a man named Sterling Balfour. And essentially, the legend has it that it was an axe that would allow you to not just cut down trees, but create things with it. And he said it was the axe they used to build the first home in Austin. It was the axe they used to fortify the first public building here.
Whoa.
And he says, Sterling Balfour died in a gun battle on Congress. They dragged his body into the lake. And years later, people went down there. They found what was left of him that hadn't been picked apart by the fucking carp. And there was no sign of his axe. And Marshall, he tells it, he kind of like gets like a crazy man look in his eye. He goes, I know where it is.
I bet you do.
How to get it. He says, help me, Pat. He says, come with me and let's retrieve Balfour's axe together.
Yeah, absolutely.
He says, really?
Yes, this is insane.
He pulls out a map and it's like written on paper that looks to be hundreds of years old. It's made with charcoal, right? He holds it up against a modern map and he says, there. And he points to Mount Bunnell, the tallest point in all of Austin.
That's not super far from where we are, not by car.
He says, what's a car?
Come on, Marshall. There's cars all over the street. What are you talking about?
He goes, I'm fucking with you.
All right.
All right. And he drags his fucking bag of pelts across the crosswalk, just leaving it slick in his wake.
I don't know if we can take that in my car, though.
So you guys go to the parking garage, right? You said you wouldn't let him put it in your car.
Absolutely not. No, you can leave it somewhere. We'll come back for it.
He goes, I won't put it in your car. And he puts it on top of your car and he pulls like a length of rope and he ties it to the roof of your car.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
And then he gets in. So you guys are like,
this is so fucked.
You parked on like the third floor of this parking garage. So you're like going downward, you know, the whole time. And the bag shifts and like blood runs onto fucking windshield.
No!
You know, you hit the fluid thing, but you just ran out. So, you know, there's like a homeless guy standing right there as you're leaving. And he's got like a thing. He's like, I'll wash it for it. And his jaw just drops and he just turns and goes the other direction.
No, come back.
Yeah.
So I just have a blood stained windshield.
Yeah. I mean, it's not stained. It's sort of a blood covered windshield would probably be like more accurate.
All right.
So, you know, you get into that fucking car. You drive to Mount Bunnell. every time you stop, it just kind of lurches forward. It's not tied in very like tight, so it's moving around up there, you know. And throughout your drive, you see a little bit more of the bag, and a little bit more of the bag, and then a little bit more of the bag every time you hit the brakes.
And I don't pull over to have him tighten it or anything.
You express some concern about it coming loose, and he just throws a hand out the window and thunk, and he's just, I'll hold it in place. And he's holding it in place.
Of course, Michael Park knows this guy. This is all I can keep thinking to myself.
So you guys, you go out to Mount Bonnell.
Holy shit.
You see the light of the moon. It lights up the stairs. Cuts off right before the very top, hidden behind a veil of trees. You look at Marshall and you go, there it is, my friend. And then he says, to the top we go. You guys hike up to the top of Mount Bonnell. You stop a couple times. You know, it's a hike.
I guess I would ask him, I would go, so Marshall, like, how long have you, like lived in nature or whatever? Like the woods? Where do you live?
He kind of chuckles. He goes, oh, I've been outside a long time. He pulls an egg from his pocket and cracks it into his mouth, throws the shell over.
Oh, over my side. God. All right. Whatever.
He swallows the egg. You guys hike up to the top. He kind of like searches along the edge of like the railing up there. And he finds something and he kind of like knocks on it. And he like grasps part of the edge and he starts to like wiggle back and forth this brick. And you see like it does give way and he lifts it up and there's a hollow chamber beneath it. And inside of it, it's like a 3-foot axe.
Oh, man.
With a silver blade that glints in the moonlight.
Holy fuck.
You see, there's the handle has been stained with the blood of trees. He pulls it up and he just kind of marvels at its existence and it shakes in his hand.
Holy shit. What are we supposed to do with this?
You ask him that, and he goes, let me show you. You guys descend Mount Bonnell. You walk out into the woods that are just nearby. And he says, not only can this axe fell a tree in a single swing, it says it can do this. And he like strikes the ground, and a wooden wall just sort of appears from the ground up. You see it kind of just gets built on top of itself.
Whoa. How the tall?
Wall is made like a 10-foot high wall. Fuck. Maybe like 6 feet wide. And there's like a little window in it. And he kind of like looks up at it and he just laughs like I'm like a fucking maniac. He hits the ground again. Another wall appears on top of that.
Whoa.
Same thing. There's a little window inside of it. 10 feet tall. Yeah, 6 feet wide. And he goes, this is the right spot. He just starts hitting the ground, right? He just starts hitting the ground over and over and over again, right? And you see these walls just constantly like stack up. So now there are dozens of them. And he just keeps hitting it. And it goes so high you can't even see where they end anymore. And he goes, Pat, I can't thank you enough for your assistance. He says, but you are an adventurer, aren't you?
Marshall, what the fuck is going on?
He kind of walks over to the wall. He like, there's like a, like I said, like a window in it. He kind of reaches up and he grabs on to like a little thing on the window and he steps with his foot on the lip of the window and he like holds himself upward. And he says, you are an adventurer, aren't you, Patrick?
Oh, this fucking guy. Yeah, I mean, are you asking me to follow you?
He smiles at you. You see the light glint off of his teeth. So he's like starts scaling this wall.
All right.
Right.
This fucking.
He's using the window as handholds, right? So he's like climbing up. You stand at the base of it and you look up. You see him climbing. You go.
Yeah, I follow him.
You lift yourself up onto the window and you start like climbing upwards. And the world around you sort of just gets encased in fog. Like this exists inside this column of fog. And you look up and blood is just dripping out of that pelt bag. It hits you in the face.
Oh,
right?
God. I forgot about that.
So you're climbing up. You're covered in blood of some kind, right?
Oh, man. Oh.
Marshall just laughs and he keeps climbing. You climb for like 10 minutes, but you don't feel tired.
Really?
You just keep climbing and keep climbing. And Marshall, he gets up and there are no more walls. And you hear him just start giggling. He goes, here it is, here it is. And he's just like very excited. You walk up and Marshall is standing on a cloud.
What?
And he's waiting for you. He says, come on, Pat, we're almost there.
Marshall, can you please tell me what all this is? This is blowing my fucking mind. I just met you. Now we're on top of a cloud together.
He hops from cloud to cloud. He's kind of like giggling along the way. He eventually hops and you're out of sight. You follow the trail of the blood. You hop from cloud to cloud. You eventually see like a giant stone house resting on top of a cloud. Huge stone house. Bigger than anything you've ever seen.
Wow.
Like 100 times the size of a normal house. You see Marshall at the base of it. That bloody bag slung over his shoulder. He sees you like coming up. He turns and he looks like a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
He goes, this is where they're keeping her. He says, follow me, Patrick. And he jumps up. He grabs like the front step. He climbs, right? He climbs up to an open window. There's a huge fucking pie on it, right? Like a big ass pie. You can literally see like the little flavor smells, you know, those little like wisps.
Yeah, of course.
Coming off of it. You see them. It smells like apple, cinnamon, nutmeg.
Classic apple pie.
A classic apple pie. But it's again, it's huge, gigantic.
Wow.
So you see Marshall ascend. He gets to the windowsill. He dips his hand in and he
pulls a
big chunk of gooeyest, cooked the apples you've ever fucking seen. He takes a bite out of it. He just screams, you know?
Why does he scream?
Like, so you follow. Right. Yeah, you follow him. You scale the wall. You climb onto the sill. You look at the pie in front of you. You feel the heat radiating off of it. Like you're standing in front of a fucking volcano. You punch your hand in. It burns your skin. But you pull out this chunk of caramelized apple. You put it in your mouth. And Pat, I got to be honest with you. It is the best tasting thing you've ever fucking had. And you look up into the sky, it looks endless, and you just scream as well. So you guys scream. And then you hear like a very small voice from very far away. A woman just yells out, Marshall. And he stops immediately. Like with this animalistic, like a German shepherd reacting to a noise in the woods. Like his head just shoots up and looks in one direction. And he says, Melba. And he bounds down from the sill into the sink. He slides down and he barely catches himself on the drain. He just yells. He manages to escape the drain. He gets out. He takes a run at the steep wall of the sink. He manages to climb it. He looks for ways down. He pulls a knife out of his boot. He jumps and he slams the knife into the wooden wall and he scrapes down the front of a cabinet until he's on the floor.
Holy shit.
He looks up at you and he just kind of motions you. He goes, "I'll catch you." But it's like 60 feet.
I fucking leap. Yeah, I fucking leap.
You leap.
I have to figure out what's going on. This is too insane. I have to know.
You leap from the counter.
Yeah.
And you see Marshall sort of like dance underneath you. You kind of like fall fast when you're about to meet your shadow on the floor itself. He breaks your fall. He doesn't really catch you, but you don't get hurt.
Okay.
You kind of stand up and he goes, "Well, that's about as good as we could hope for." And then he turns and runs. He screams, "Melba, I'm coming."
Who's
and he,
Melba?
So that's what you think. And you're in like a giant kitchen, right? Like a huge kitchen. You run like across the whole length of the kitchen. You cross through the hallway onto a hardwood floor, and there's a fireplace. And atop the fireplace, at the mantle, there's a very small woman the size of you guys, and she's just like chained to a piece of driftwood.
Whoa.
You guys run into the room, and she says, "Marshall." And he says, "Melba." Right?
Whoa.
And he like takes like one step forward and a giant foot just like squashes him.
Oh.
Right? And you look up and there is like the biggest human being you've ever seen. This person has to be 200 feet tall compared to you. And you hear in a really deep voice, he goes, "I've been waiting for you." And you look up and he lifts his shoe and you just see the remnants of Marshall splattered against this guy's boot, right? There's even more blood just pouring out of this fucking juicy ass pelt sack, right? And you're not really sure where Marshall's blood ends and, you know, the pelt begins. And you see that Bigfoot shift over to you and you're like enveloped in its shadow. And he goes, "I don't know you, but you're not supposed to be here."
Well, hold
and
on
then
a
he
sec.
Just crushes you
no!
too.
Oh, man.
Stops right on top of you. So you and Marshall's bodies both get like pulverized together.
Marshall!
And he like scrapes you guys on like the edge of like the hallway where the wood meets the tile. And you guys are just like one lump of bloody meat, you in the pelt bag. It is a complete mess. His wife like screams at him. She goes, "Are you stopping little guys again?" A giant broom sweeps the two of you out into the yard. Your dog comes out and later on eats you.
Oh, man.
Shits you out on top of the cloud. The dog shit falls through the cloud, lands in the middle of a field somewhere in Iowa, and you just bake in the sun for an entire summer. And then you eventually just dried out, and there you just become fertilizer at that point. Feeding the youth of America.
What happened to Melba?
Oh, man, I don't know. I got no idea. I got no clue.
Oh, man.
I imagine she was heartbroken.
we got close. I guess.
Yeah, you were right there. Yeah, you were right there.
Oh, man.
She fucking died on the bottom of a giant's boot.